Welcome back, everyone.
I'm Nicole.
And I'm Crystal. You're listening to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
A podcast where we talk about legends and paranormal stories, sprinkled with true crime, extraterrestrial, and the like.
A little disclaimer. We're not professionals. We're not historians. We just love everything scary.
If you haven't already, which you should have, subscribe to and review this podcast.
So on today's episode, it's March. It's the second week of March. Before we start, I just want to apologize to everybody on the podcast about last week's audio. My mic was not turned on, so I had to pull audio from our YouTube video, and that's why it sounds crappy.
Follow us on the YouTube video, Las Brujas Podcast.
Yeah, so if there's ever bad audio on the podcast, go to YouTube.
Got a backup.
It'll be a little bit better.
And you'll get to see us.
And you get to watch us, yeah. So anyways, it is March, the second week of March when this comes out, and we are having a theme. What are we talking about?
We are talking about little leprechauns.
Little
St. Patrick's Day, since it's around that time period. That's the first thing that comes to mind, aside from drinking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, they can't see us on the podcast. We're cheersing our drinks right now. So, yeah, the theme for today's episode is pretty much just going to be about leprechauns. And I think I'm going to start, or do you want to start? Or you want me to start?
I want you to start, yeah. Okay. Because I'm just piggybacking off of what you have, and this is why not start in the area where we're kind of celebrating St. Patrick's Day. You're starting Ireland?
Yeah, I kind of did a little bit backstory of it, so I guess it's mostly from Irish descent, origin. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to tell you guys some stories that I found online about people seeing leprechauns.
And take a look at Coco. She's just staring at us like our only audience right now.
She's the mom from Mean Girls with the recorder.
Yeah.
You're doing great, honey. Yeah. Or no, sweetie. Yeah. Blink once if we're doing good.
Oh, she didn't blink.
Nope. Blink once if we're doing amazing.
Oh, she winked.
She winked.
Halfway. Kind of good.
Our always special guest sitting off to the side making all the noise in the world, Coconut.
Mm-hmm. She is our sound technician.
Our special effects sound.
There it is, yeah.
Anytime you think you hear a ghost.
Or gas. It's not
a ghost. It's Coconut.
Yeah.
She is staring straight at us.
Mm-hmm.
She's yawning. She's over it.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to begin. Let's get started.
All right.
Legends. What is a leprechaun? That was the first sentence I put. Hold on. Let me put my drink down. 1 second. By the way, we're in the middle of, I don't know when, maybe in like 5 years, we'll listen back to this and wonder, what were we doing March 2020? Or what was going on in the world March 2020? And we are all dealing with the coronavirus.
Yes.
Just went to Target earlier. There is zero water at Target. Everything else, Gatorade, soda, food, no water. I don't get it. Why does everybody take the water?
The leprechauns take it.
They are the leprechauns because they're going to sell it.
Remember, so leprechauns are kind of like family of duendes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what leprechauns are always remind me of, is duendes. Okay, anyways. All right. I'm going to start for real now. Okay. So, legends about leprechauns have been around in Ireland for thousands of years. Stories date back to the 12th century.
Okay.
That's a long, long time ago. Yeah. Leprechauns are said to be fairies, which we'll get into more later, but they're solitary fairies, so you'll never see a leprechaun in a group. They're usually alone. I guess legend has it that they prefer to be alone.
Hmm.
And then there's other sources that they're not fairies, but they merged with fairies. And I don't know. I guess it's like you think of a mythical land and all the mythical creatures are together and leprechauns are there too. So they're described to be about 2 to 3 feet tall. But I think back to duendes, and they're like really tiny, really small. But Irish legend is they're 2 to 3 feet tall. Yeah, and they're usually male.
Mine are usually 2 feet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And they're usually male, but there are some legends that claim that there are female leprechauns as well.
Oh, wow.
So I want to talk about their gold, because obviously that's like the biggest thing about leprechauns.
Yeah.
So the story I remember when I was told about a leprechaun, I don't know if you know this story, mm-hmm. but it's if you're able to catch a leprechaun, then it has to give you its treasure, his gold. That's like the whole point.
Yeah.
Right?
I've heard of it.
Because, you know, like now that we have kids, I remember the kids would talk about making a leprechaun catcher for St.
Yes.
Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. So his pot of gold is usually said to be hidden in a forest mm-hmm. or an area in nature. It's not supposed to be on him or in the house. I don't know.
It's at the end of the rainbow.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and it's usually in a nature area. And he would lead you there. But the thing about leprechauns is that they're tricksters.
They like to lure.
They like to lure. They're sneaky. Yeah. And there's a story. So I think there's three stories that are like the main Irish stories, which I could be wrong. This source that I got it from is completely wrong. So if any Irish people out there want to correct me, please do so.
Comment below.
If you're watching on YouTube, comment below. If you are listening to the podcast, email us.
Review the episode.
It's about, the story is about a boy who finds a leprechaun and forces him to tell him where the gold is. Mm-hmm. The leprechaun leads the boy to a tree and tells him the treasure is buried under it. But the boy didn't bring a shovel. So the boy ties a red cloth around the tree to mark it. He makes the leprechaun swear he won't remove the marker and leaves to get a shovel. When the boy returns, he finds every tree has a red cloth tied around it and the leprechaun is gone. See, they're tricky. Mm-hmm. They're little tricky ones.
Mm-hmm.
Another story is that they carry two leather pouches. One pouch has a silver shilling and the other one has a gold coin. When you catch the leprechaun, he's supposed to give you his treasure, right? So he'll reach into one of his pouches and he'll hand one of the coins to you. But the thing is, you obviously, you're like, give me your treasure. He gives you something and you let him go. So if he gives you the silver coin, it will magically end up back in his pouch once you free him, and it won't be in your possession anymore. And then if he gives you the gold one, mm-hmm. it will turn into leaves or ashes once you set him free.
What?
That one tricked me out.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine opening your hand and you're like, what the?
Yeah.
The last legend is about how tricky leprechauns are, and that instead of getting their gold, they will grant you three wishes. So this one was like completely different. It's mm-hmm. not about their treasure.
Yeah.
This story involves a man named Seamus who catches a leprechaun and wished to be the richest man on his own personal island.
That's usually everybody's main wish, right? To be the richest person.
Yeah. He got his wish mm-hmm. granted, but the deceit behind it from the leprechaun was that there was nobody on the island. It was just Seamus by himself.
Oh no.
So eventually Seamus was like, okay, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah.
And he wished to be back home and live his normal life. And the point of these three legends, like most legends, is that it's to teach you a lesson. It's to teach you about morals and, you know, getting rich quick doesn't always work.
Yeah.
It always backfires on you.
Mm-hmm.
So besides their gold, there's another little twist to the legend. So earlier I said that it goes back way back in time
mm-hmm.
in medieval
ahoy mateys
medieval Irish manuscripts. I got this from ancientorigins.net. Leprechauns are believed to have lived underwater.
What?
Yeah, like I think from like 1100 something.
Okay.
There's manuscripts that say that they lived underwater, and that's where the female leprechauns come from.
Mermaids.
Mm-hmm. They were apparently warriors, and the female leprechauns would lure human men for secret adventures.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Hey,
mm-hmm.
The sirens. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. The sirens were leprechauns.
Yeah.
These stories, though, about them being warriors stopped around 1604, and then it turned into leprechauns being described as old men that worked on shoes.
Aww.
It started to change.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why. I'll tell you in a second. So this came out because the word... Okay, so the word leprechaun, what they trans or they, what do you call it? Like when you try to look for the meaning of a word, kind of like when you're looking at Latin, like all of our English language comes from Latin. Yeah, the root word.
Mm-hmm.
So leprechaun derives from Gaelic expression. And I'm not going to say the Gaelic expression, but I'm going to tell you that it translates to shoemaker.
Okay.
Because I was not about to try and pronounce. So they tried, I guess, scholars. Researchers, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know who did this research. They looked at the word leprechaun, broke it down, and ended up meaning shoemaker to them.
Okay.
So instead of being warriors, they're now drunk little old men that work on shoes. The legends probably took a turn because there is another legend about an Irish fairy. So this is where it gets a little bit convoluted. This Irish fairy is always drunk and rude and would make noise in the night and create messes in homes, especially wine cellars. So there's like one legend about a fairy, but I guess somehow the stories got intertwined.
They got dark and deep.
Yeah. So now leprechauns work on shoes and drink. From 1604, they're no longer warriors. Since their stories can overlap with other legends like fairies, duendes, elves, etc., they're usually referred to as little people. That's how, I guess, most people distinguish them from other things. Like, because fairies, you think, yeah, they're little, but they have wings. Or gnomes or duendes are really, really, really tiny.
Yeah.
So little people, I guess, is how majority of people who see them refer them to.
Okay.
So I'm going to read some stories. And the reason why I said that is because a lot of the stories say little people. And I don't want anybody to be like...
Little people like Thumbelina? Like small?
2 to 3 feet tall.
Okay.
So I don't know. I just don't want people to be like, Crystal, you're not being politically correct.
Nah.
I'm just trying to tell you guys.
Yeah.
This is how people refer them to. So... I got these stories from liveabout.com and yourghoststories.com. And I'm going to read it the way they wrote it.
Okay.
So in October, this is the first one. In October 2003 in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, I was out playing on our patio with my 2.5-year-old son when he stopped suddenly and asked me, who is the little man sitting on our stone wall? I looked where he was pointing and saw nothing, but the area looked different somehow. Shimmery? Later in January 2004, we were again outside playing, this time with my husband, when the most beautiful snow began to fall. It was just coming on to dusk, and I said I wanted to take a quick walk in the woods, and my husband would watch our son while I went. She went by herself.
Wow.
Yeah. I started through the woods and was somewhat perplexed by how different everything looked. Hard to describe. Again, shimmery is the first word that comes to mind. As I rounded a bend in the path, I came face to face, about 3 or 4 feet away, with a little elf-looking man peering right at me from behind a tree. It was almost a stereotypical elf, long pointy ears, long funny shaped nose, very long fingers and pointy cap. It was wearing red clothes and hat, and its skin appeared to be a very light lavender color. I let out a startled, oh, and it jerked back and just disappeared into thin air.
Wow. Yeah, so in some of mine, it said that they would disappear. That was one of the traits.
Sneaky little, little people. Okay, next story. In Jerome Clark's book, Unexplained, well, this isn't really a story. This is like a description of a story. He retells the story of a 13-year-old Harry Anderson who had a strange encounter on a summer night in 1919. Anderson claimed to have seen a column of 20 little men marching in single file toward him. The bright moonlight made them clearly visible, and Anderson could see that they were dressed in leather knee pants with suspenders. The men were shirtless, bald, and had pale white skin. They paid no attention to Anderson as they passed and seemed to be mumbling something unintelligible all the while. So that one was the second one. And it just gets creepier and creepier. Trust me, it gets better. So, where am I? Okay. Oh, okay. So one thing I want to mention before this next story is that sometimes leprechauns are said to be protectors of nature. Since they bury their gold in nature and they have a rainbow. So they're like the protectors of the forest or whatever. Mother
Earth. Hippies.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They're little hippies. I learned that a boy. Okay, this is a story. I learned that a bored young boy playing along a creek near Bend, Oregon, saw two little people who crossed the creek and stood looking at him. He said they were no more than 15 to 18 inches high and very dark complected. They wore skins as garments and after a period of 10 to 15 seconds, walked back across the creek and into the forest. The boy showed their footprints to his parents, who had contracted to a logging company to clean up slash piles. The prints. Okay, so they saw the footprints. The prints were obvious and his parents were flabbergasted, but chose not to follow the little beings into the woods. He believes now that the little men weren't happy about the logging and destruction in the forest. Can you imagine if they followed those two little people? Forget it. It's a horror movie. And, Oh my gosh. Okay. This is where it gets a little trippy.
Okay.
From 2008. So, I mean, a long time ago, but not that long ago.
Yes.
It's new enough now that makes it even creepier. Because if you hear stories from like the 1800s, it's like, meh. But this is from 2000.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, my name's Georgie and I'm from England. I'm now 19 and have since moved house. This happened to me when I was 14 and lived in another house. The house was quite big and Victorian style and was always quite freaky and was always quite freaky feel about it. I always hated the night because I always felt as if something was in my room, but I would just put my head under the cover and wait until I fell asleep. Well, this particular night, I went to bed and done my usual routine and I fell to sleep. I woke up in the middle of the night and I sat up and in front of my bed was my dressing table. I looked at my dressing table and there was a tiny person sitting on there, but he was green and it sounds silly, but it looked like looked a little like a leprechaun.
Uh-huh.
I looked at it and he looked back at me. Then when I realized what it was, I started screaming. Oh, and the more God. I screamed, the more it laughed at me. My mom came running. come running into my room and it looked at her and she turned the light on and it disappeared.
So she saw it?
No, the little leprechaun looked at her.
Okay.
And then when she turned the light on, he came out.
Wow.
I've never seen it since and I just don't know why it was there. It sounds so unreal and everyone I tell thinks I was dreaming, but I know I wasn't. And it was weird how I couldn't take my eyes off of it. I was so scared, but I couldn't look away. Then it gets even weirder.
Go.
So there's another story. This is a different story. This isn't Georgie anymore. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, I was in bed. Actually, in my sister's bed, blah, blah, blah. She talks about she sleeps in her sister's bed. Anyway, I woke up. Mm-hmm. I was not sleeping. I was very much awake. I look over and there's a little man standing in the corner just in front of the open closet. He was pointing and laughing, but making no sound. Just standing there laughing and pointing. I was terrified and frozen in fear. He threw stuffed animals at my sister and just kept laughing. But again, absolute silence. I just laid there frozen in fear. Oh my God. I can just imagine being under the blanket and feeling the stuffed animals like.
Yeah, that's what I was. Oh, that's crazy.
No, thank you. I'm scared. Okay. I believed I pulled the covers over my head and just laid there awake until morning. It gets worse. It's freaking me out. As soon as I got up, the courage to get out of bed, I ran and told my mom what happened.
Yeah.
I kept pleading with her to understand that it was not a dream or a nightmare. I was very much awake. My mom froze and went a little pale, but was trying to play calm and brush it off, assuring me it must have been a nightmare.
Yeah.
Years later, the subject came up and my mom told me that she got freaked out because she had the same experience when she was a kid.
What?
Every detail of the little man, who was very leprechaun-like, was the same. She had apparently went to her mother to tell her about my experience. Like, her mom went and told her mom.
The grandma.
And then told her about her own experience. So it's pretty much like me going to mom and being like, this happened to Ayrton and it happened to me too.
Yeah, yeah.
Come to find out, my grandmother saw the same little man and had the same details of what he looked like.
What?
3 generations saw the same little man.
I wonder how old they were living till.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we all said we experienced the same thing, the laughing with no noise. It's so strange. A mime leprechaun. It's so strange that we all experienced this and saw the same little man. I've tried to pinpoint similar details between the three of us, but the only thing we have in common was that we're female. We were different ages, living in different areas. I'm the middle child, and so is my grandmother, but my mom is the youngest. It's just so odd. I have 3 boys now, and I'm really curious if someday they'll wake me up and tell me about the little man who scared the living hell out of them in the middle of the night. So I like how she's looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That got me so mad.
That's crazy. It just following each generation.
But not really, because she says her and her grandma are the middle child and then her mom is the youngest. So it's not even, well, who knows?
Yeah.
They haven't even, I wonder if they've talked to anybody else in the family and was like, has this happened to you?
Right.
Ooh, okay, I'm done for now. Nicole's going.
So for mine, it's going to be the same category. We're talking about leprechauns, but we're going over to a little island, possibly Baker Island, or mainly all of the Polynesian islands. I'm talking about the Menehune. They are known to be dwarves or pixies, as well as they're also said to be part of the pygmy class.
What's a pygmy?
So it's the small, the 2 feet. Mm-hmm.
So not like little tiny cute ones like Tinkerbell. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they were known to be laborers. And now the Menehune are, there are stories that they were in Oahu, but then also Kauai. But when I went through each website that I was researching, it was telling me that, you know, they were always meant to be known as the seen and the unseen, meaning whenever they were out and, they would only be seen at night, not during the day.
Really?
Yes.
That's creepy. Mm-hmm. That makes it even creepier.
So if they were to do anything, again, being laborers or being like a house elf, it would only be during the nighttime when they would work. The theory is that they may represent an actual race of dwarves.
Oh, yeah. I read that too, that there's like different styles, packs. Mm-hmm.
Predating to the arrival of the first known Polynesian settlers of the islands. Another theory is that the miniature humanoids could have been some relation to the hobbits. So people who are a little bit covered with hair, you know, like their primate time. They're called humanoids, I believe. Or hominids, I'm sorry. Hominids.
Hominids. I think there's so many variations because I'm pretty sure they cross crossbred.
Yes. So that, and so with this, since they were said to be the first of settlers amongst the Polynesians, they also hooked up with the Polynesians and became, you know, that's how everything came to where it was.
Halves.
Yes. Yeah. So it says here that about 12,000 to 13,000 years ago is when it's said they have existed on the islands because of everything that they have.
Ago. Yeah. Holy cow.
Yes. So I think
these
like 580.
These things have been around forever. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah. And so they lived in remotely in the Pacific side. And in the traditions of early Hawaii, people were to have said that the Menehune were a race of dwarves who lived in caves and deep valleys. So they loved the greenery. They stayed at the islands was because in one of the islands, Kauai, it's known as the 40 shades of green. So there's different colors, variations. So that's why they're
crazy.
There.
We didn't do our research together. So it's all overlapping without us even knowing.
Mm-hmm. So the Menehune have built various structures around the Hawaiian Islands. For example, the fish pond. So this is at Nimalu on the island of Kauai, or a breakwater at Kahalu Bay on the Big Island. These islands were made with a certain like height and width that they are supposed to be ponds for like shrimp and stuff like that. And so they're like, well, this was before any type of civilization was created. And again, they were meant to have built tunnels, caves, all this stuff. Yeah. With stone, but they could never find any utensils.
So did they eat with their hands? Or work with their hands?
They worked with their hands.
But they're magical.
Yeah.
So maybe they were just like pointing.
So the Menehune are also known in the Asian texts of the Nawau, which is the Hawaiian version of fairies and leprechauns of Ireland. Mm. Again, 2 feet tall, they would dwell in lush forests away from civilization, and they would have that sort of supernatural ability to construct anything within the desire of the nighttime period. Mm. Because say they encountered somebody, because again, the Polynesian people did come to the islands once they were discovered. Whatever work that they were doing and they were caught by the actual Polynesian tribes, they would stop. Either just disappear or completely stop the work, not even continue it. So half-made things that were there.
That's creepy. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine and seeing like something half-made, like a piece of wood just hanging off a nail, swinging?
Yeah. It also says that the Menehune have been known to use magic arrows to pierce the heart of any angry people, igniting feelings of love instead. So aside from them being mischievous and they're wanting Cupids. To build things, they're actual Cupids with some type of poison that makes the hate go away. They also enjoyed cliff diving, and according to local lore, they were very smart and extremely strong. The story that I have was from 1973. A 35-year-old Rob Carlson reported that he had a curious and frightening encounter while out fishing for catfish with a friend in Whitmore Village by the Wahiawa Mountains. I know I said that wrong.
Yeah, most probably.
According to the account, the two had just finished setting up some catfish traps and were preparing to go home for the night when they heard other Bigfoot.
Hold on. Coconut decided to just parade around the room. She looks like she's getting comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
She's circling and she's down. Okay.
Oof.
That was hard work.
She got cozy there. So,
see?
According to the account, the two had just finished setting up some catfish traps and they were preparing to go home for the night when they heard an otherworldly howl blast from the surrounding wilderness, which sounded like a wild man. So with the research that I found, again, they were coming from the hominids relation. So primate, great apes, what okay, we think yeah, of, yeah, what is it, Bigfoot?
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
is his other name?
Sasquatch.
Sasquatch, yeah. So in this story, they hear this wild man. At first, they thought it was a joke being played by their friends. But as the wailing intensified, they ran away in a panic. As the two friends ran down the hill along the trail, they reached a curve in the path. And it was said that the alien howling made itself known. It was a 7 to 8 foot hairy female creature.
Oh, she's mm-hmm. a female.
Naked, except for a cloth around the waist, lumbered into view. So Carlson would describe this escalating chaos, saying, "I tell you, he was coming right for us." Cool. So he turned and ran back to the river. As he stumbled on the side of the embankment, a giant woman stepped out from behind the tree. She must have been at least 7 feet tall. The friends reportedly made their way home, and they weren't able to sleep with all that happened weighing heavily on their minds. When they awoke the next morning, they allegedly went back to their encounter and had taken place. Ugh. They eventually went back to their counter where it had taken place mm-hmm. to retrieve their catfish traps.
They were like, "We still need to go get our catfish."
And they were able to find a series of massive tracks that measured around 20 inches long. And
20 since inches. Then,
they swore that they would never go fishing in that area again. The creature in this case was decidedly more in keeping with the traditional physical description of North America's Bigfoot, mm-hmm. being massive, hair-covered, wild man type of beast rather than a smaller dwarfish menehune. And when I started thinking about this too, like, I try to get an idea of what they would have looked like.
Mm-hmm.
I saw only like a few videos on YouTube of encounters and sightings of the menehune, and it's so hard to tell because at one, you think about small heights, I'm thinking like these trolls or gnomes,
right? Yeah.
But then when they start saying that it's part of the primal, like the hobbits and whatnot, okay, so now I'm picturing more of a hairy type,
yeah,
little
yeah,
person,
yeah, like Sasquatch,
right?
Like mm-hmm. Bigfoot, mm-hmm. like somebody who's gonna do some damage.
But most
there.
Of these all had mainly said it was male, never female. But if there was female, they were the ones to entrap the Tahitians mm-hmm. or any of the other Polynesian
to
tribes.
To them.
Yep.
They're using their ways.
And to mix. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's way different.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how far back this legend goes. This is, I think, out of all the things we've researched up till now, this is the oldest one.
Yeah.
And there's actual manuscripts and stories, you know, yeah. passed down. And this was over 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
That's when you have to really think about things when people from the past talk about stories that they encountered or mm-hmm. heard from that have been passed down that we lose now as a generation. We don't really think about things like that anymore. More of it's just critical to what's going on now versus, hey, remember when we were yeah. playing out in the woods, or remember when we were out down the orchard?
Yeah, or it's more, or people related to more mainstream things like the movie Leprechaun, which I found out today there's 6 of them.
Wow.
That's a lot of Leprechaun. And I think
seen
the
one.
Same guy played him in every single film. And I guess after the 5th one, he said he quit. He was never going to be Leprechaun again. And then they did Leprechaun Origins, which was the last one that they made. And he was in Leprechaun Origins. That movie. So I didn't come across anything that made it seem that they were evil, like mean evil, like just trying to kill people. Like, I didn't come across that.
I found one article that did say that if you did torment them, uh-huh. they would turn you into stone.
But so, he wasn't torturing you.
No.
You're torturing them. So, mm-hmm. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah.
But I did come about in the research, they are really smart.
Yeah.
And they can like do anything. Mm-hmm. They can build stuff. They're like very intellectual little beings.
Yeah.
It's so crazy because it goes back so far, and it goes back through, I mean, we link it to Irish descent, mm-hmm. but it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's in every single culture. Mm-hmm. For us, it's Duende. If yes. you guys want to get freaked out, like really freak yourselves out, mm-hmm. look up Duende on YouTube, and there are videos, very yes. old cell phone pixelated videos of Duendes running across rooms.
And if this is your first time listening to us, just skipping through all of the other episodes, yeah. go back and listen to that episode that we had with the Duendes when we talk about yeah. it.
And it's crazy because something made like somebody was moving a chair on the floor, right? That's what it sounded like.
That wasn't Coco.
When my dad told me that he saw Duendes, like he saw them face to face, they were messing with him. Mm-hmm. He was out with his cow. It's a Mexican thing to say.
It's out with my cow.
Out with my cow. On the side of a mountain. But he was like, yeah, when he saw them, they were like playing in the water and like jumping around, and they were all like little tiny people. And my dad was like in a trance, like the lady in the one story that she couldn't describe the vibe that she was getting. That's how my dad explained it. He was like, I didn't understand what was going on, but I couldn't leave.
Yeah.
Like I was just trapped looking at them.
Entranced.
And then they saw him. And this is where it gets me, because I think the same with paranormal stuff, a spirit can attach to you. I think these little creatures attach to you, just like how we kind of heard in the three generations.
Yeah.
They attach to you too, because my dad had to have like a whole bunch of prayer and stuff over him to get rid of the Duendes, because they were tormenting him, because they're little tricksters. He said that he would dream, or he didn't know if he was dreaming. Mm-hmm. He thinks it was real. It might have been a dream, but they were like pull at his ears and squeeze his nose and like open his eyes so that he couldn't sleep.
Wow.
And they were just tormenting him. And it's not like they were torturing him, but they wouldn't leave him alone.
That's like when they tell you that you have, what's that stage when you're sleeping but you can't move?
Sleep paralysis?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to ask him if he was having sleep paralysis. Uh-huh. But I remember when he told me that story, and after doing all this research, it connects. It mm-hmm. all makes so much sense. They're in nature. Mm-hmm. They don't hurt you per se, but they do like to mess with you.
And even with the tribes that they have, the Native American tribes or the Polynesian tribes that they have, everybody learned from something. It wasn't like we just happened to come across it.
Yes. Yeah. These stories don't come from nothing.
Yeah.
Because if somebody just makes something up, it's not going to carry on over thousands of years.
To different places of the earth.
Yes. That's mm-hmm. what freaks me out. Because how do Mexicans have Duendes and then Irish people have leprechauns uh-huh. and then the Hawaiians or the uh-huh. island
or
people
even
have theirs?
United Kingdom, Britain.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. Leprechauns are real. Fairies are
Anybody
real.
Anybody around the Asian countries, let us know if you guys have anything that's
Heck
similar
yes.
to that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We didn't look that up. Mm-hmm. I focus mostly on Irish mm-hmm. because that's where it's linked to.
Yeah.
And I think, I guess from, what did I say, 1604, when it turned into little drunk men, I think that's when alcohol got involved.
Yeah.
I wonder why Lucky Charms. I mean, the rainbow. Okay, so what about the green? Because in the stories I read, they're all sorts of different colors, and they were all sorts of different clothes.
Well, mine were hairy. They had cloths.
And yours were hairy.
Yeah, they had loincloths pretty much to cover themselves, but they were attracted to green. So I'm only thinking that's why they have the green
on nature.
Them. Yeah.
Because a lot of the stories that say the ones that were in nature were wearing stuff from nature. Mm-hmm. Like they had clothes made out of leaves and stuff. And obviously leaves would be green mm-hmm. for the most part, unless they let them turn brown.
I think they changed them out by then.
I don't know. I mean, you guys let us know what you think, because mm-hmm. I'm tripping out.
It's pretty crazy. Can you imagine going to a pub mm-hmm. and then seeing something down the road just happen to be just hanging out?
Oh,
yep.
No, thank you. Mm-hmm. Imagine like living in a place where, and you're in a wooded area. Mm-hmm. You could be in a neighborhood. It could be the burbs, but it could, you know, have a lot of trees around. They like nature.
The raccoons. With their hands.
I'm always scared. Oh, so if you guys look up these videos on YouTube about the Duendes, that video, I was never the same again after that. You remember that? Your mom, mm-hmm. my sister showed us that when we were children. Mm-hmm. We were little kids. Mm-hmm. And then they proceeded to leave us that night. They took off to go clubbing mm-hmm. and left all the kids at home. And we were terrified. Mm-hmm. We were so scared. It's
part of growing up.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. It's the videos. If you guys don't want to look it up, you just want a little description. Do you remember?
Remember when they would run in and it hit the broom?
Was it a broom?
I think so. Or a stick or something, right? It ran across the room and hit something towards a closet.
I don't remember. I remember most of them were in Spanish.
Yeah.
Like I heard people speaking in Spanish in the background. And I just remember seeing a little figure. It looked like a little shadow.
Yeah.
Running across the room closer to the wall. Because mm-hmm. they say, like, you'll see them out of the corner of your eye, like, run across.
Yeah. Because you're not supposed to see them. They know that you notice them. Yeah.
Yeah. They're supposed to, like, disappear. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that. Yeah. I'll never forget
that. I know videos. I saw one where there's kids playing basketball and the basketball was rolling off of the court. So he went to go grab it. Mm-hmm. And when he went to grab it, there was a duende in the grass. Oh, and so God. He went to grab, but saw them pulled back and then the duende took off.
No, thank you. Yeah.
They have a whole bunch, but let us know what you think.
Now you don't know if it's a ghost or a duende.
Right?
Just took your keys and hit them. Mm-hmm. Ew, because you know when you lose something, you're looking and looking and looking, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, it's right there. Is it a duende or is it a ghost?
Nope.
Or it's leprechaun.
Amnesia.
It's amnesia. Mm-hmm. You had a moment. I could have swore I looked under this. That happens mm-hmm. to me all the time. Hold on, wait a second. That mm-hmm. happens to me all the time. Mm-hmm. My AirPods, forget it.
Yeah.
Everybody in this house already knows. I will eventually,
like three tiles.
Eventually at one point throughout the day, will go, has anybody seen my AirPods?
Yeah. Where's your case? Where's the AirPod?
Where did you have it last? Yeah. Everyone finds it everywhere. Mm-hmm. No, mom. Mom knows me so well. So one day I went, Mom, I've been looking for my AirPods since yesterday. I can't find them. And she goes, hold on. She goes up to my room, goes in the closet and goes, they're right here in your jacket pocket. And I'm like, how did you know?
She thought I saw you put them there.
That is a really random spot. She went straight to the jacket. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyways, so that is all of our stories for today. I'm not going to tell the last story. Maybe I'll save it for next week if we continue this leprechaun theme. Because we do have at least one more week that we can continue talking about these little guys or girls. Could be guys and girls. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
This wraps up this episode. Subscribe to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Las Brujas Podcast and on Twitter at Brujas Podcast. We would love to hear from you.
Any feedback, suggestions, or personal testimonials that confirm these stories, we would love to read them.
A question for you. Do you believe leprechauns are real? And please let us know. Mm-hmm. Comment, email, anything.
Yeah. Join us next week. We post every Friday.
Bye.